Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 77, Path to Victory. I'm your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host, Too Hot, Scott Michella.
All right, special day. Let's get to it.
That's right. This episode is going to be talking all about the Nintendo Switch because we just saw the presentation. It ended about half an hour ago as we're recording this, so Switch Mania is running wild. And we know all about the games, we know all about the launch date, we know about the price, we know all about everything. So that's what this episode is going to be all about. And I hardly even know where to begin because there's so much to talk about. But the thing that is paramount on my mind right now is the way the presentation ended with the new trailer for The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And I'm just totally blown away.
Oh, It looks beautiful, doesn't it? That's just incredible.
Well, it does. And it started out looking like what we'd seen, which is beautiful, all these vistas showing him in the snow or in the desert or, you know, climbing a mountain and seeing all this really cool looking stuff, you know, running along a bridge. And that was all kind of what we had expected, you know, these cool waterfalls, masterful scenery. Oh, and the Master Sword, too. And then it just goes nuts. And suddenly we're seeing, you know, just how completely epic it all is and seeing all these NPCs and all these cities and all these villains and all these story elements that we hadn't known about up until now. This Calamity Ganon, whatever, you know, that is. Is that just Ganon? Is it more than just Ganon? Is it a new form of Ganon? And talking about, oh, the thing that happened 100 years ago, because we knew that Link had been, you know, essentially, you know, dead for 100 years, and he's being resurrected in this chamber at the beginning of the game. And I wasn't sure if that was really going to play into the story or not, and apparently it really is. They really are factoring that stuff into the story. I guess I never should have doubted it to begin with. But then there's Gorons, and there's Zoras, and then we got to see Princess Zelda, and she's crying. She's like, all her work was for nothing. We're seeing the Guardians destroying the cities, and I don't know if that's a flashback or if it's currently happening, but it's just nuts. It looks amazing. And there's voiceovers. Zelda's talking. There are real, actual voiceovers.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
So I'm still kind of freaking out here about all that stuff.
Yeah, we...
That's a launch title.
Yeah, so I think that was key. If that wasn't part of this announcement, I thought that they were... I was like, what happened to Breath of the Wild? Are they going to do anything?
Yeah, me too. I was like, they should have opened with Breath of the Wild because we already know about that game.
Of course,
it's familiar.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a big surprise. But, you know, I was wrong. It was pretty surprising. And I was kind of saying that last week. I was like, oh, there are still things to learn. But still, I was blown away. I was shocked.
So that was pretty wild that that was a last thing kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's coming out for Wii U the same day, which is going to be a good thing if I'm not able to get a Switch right at launch. But, yeah, that's looking pretty, pretty darn amazing.
Yeah. All through that, there were a bunch of naysayers in my Twitter feed, and I was kind of feeling pretty down about the lack of actual launch titles. And
you mean the whole presentation itself?
Yeah, throughout the entire presentation, I was just like, oh, well, right now they've only confirmed like two of these games for launch, and I'm not excited about either of them.
Well, I think there was only one other first-party game confirmed for launch in this presentation.
Yeah, you're right. It is one other game. It was just that 1-2 Switch game.
Yes, 1-2 Switch, which is that party game demo thing you were talking about last week, you kind of expected.
Yeah.
But it is not a pack-in. It is not a preloaded game. They're actually apparently selling it as standalone software. And I'm kind of surprised because, you know, that's what I was saying last week. I was thinking there'd be two SKUs. One that would have a game like that bundled in with it, and there'd be a regular one. And I guess there are two SKUs, but none of them have a pack-in game. They're both priced the same. The only difference is the color of the Joy-Con controllers.
That's right.
Boy, should we start talking about, you know, all that stuff, or should we want to start?
Yeah. So, how do you want to go through this? Because I took notes all through.
We already started talking about it, so let's jump in on this 1-2 Switch game. What do you feel about this? This is the other launch title we know of, alongside Breath of the Wild. If they're going to sell the system, it is based a lot on those two games.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this thing? It's the game that you play without even looking at the screen, it says. It's a two-player game. You're doing all kinds of crazy stuff with the Joy-Con controllers. It went by so fast, I couldn't even really tell what was happening.
Yeah. But it feels like it's a kind of a call and response type thing where if I do a gesture, then you have to follow it with a gesture within a certain amount of time.
And that could be it.
It could be something like that. So it looks... It looks fun. I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic about what that is. I think really it's going to be a tech demo of what the controller is capable of via, with the haptic feedback that it seems to have. And
yeah, that's what they said. It was there to provide a showcase for what they're calling HD Rumble.
Yeah. I don't think this is going to sell systems like, you know, Wii Bowling sold Wii's. But if they can sell this to people as a real party game, you know, obviously the Joy-Cons, knowing now what the price of these things are, I don't see myself owning more than two Joy-Cons.
Yeah,
so
totally.
I don't expect to go to a party having eight of these to pass out to people.
Well,
so,
they made
yeah,
it sound
I don't,
this is going to be a two-player game, not
two-player.
An eight-player game.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what they made it sound like.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not really super sold on it. I don't, you know, do a whole lot of, you know, partying at my place. I mean, it probably is going to be good in those situations, but the amount of times I would actually use that, it's probably not going to be very many. So I can't say I'm horribly excited about it. I was more excited when they started showing the video, and I'm like, oh, this is Wild Gunman 2 or something like that.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Wild Gunman, yeah. I thought the same thing.
Because it does have that as this quick draw game that you're supposed to play. And then, you know, like you're gesturing with, like, you know, swinging swords and blocking swords and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But it is very much a party game, not the kind of game that you're going to sit down and spend any solo time with, apparently. So, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really feel like a $60 experience either. I hope it's like $30 or $40 or something like
that. Yeah, and I feel like if there was a strong launch lineup, that this game would be like just an afterthought. But because I think the launch lineup is so light, this is almost certainly going to be one of the games that most of us, you know, day one purchasers are going to pick up just because.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you have one other game to play. Not that that game isn't going to be incredible and mind-blowing, but you're still going to want something else to play this system with. And that's really your only other choice right now.
Yeah, this is the game to bring in your casual friends. You've got Zelda for the hardcore experience, and then if you want to do something multiplayer, something for people who aren't really excited about video games most of the time, then you're going to want to have 1-2 Switch.
Yeah.
But I don't really think I'm going to do it personally, but I don't know. Maybe I'll play it, and I'll love it, and I'll be like, I have to get this, and I'm going to be throwing Switch parties every weekend at my apartment or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think it's going to be Nintendo Land all over again, where I'm going to just regret the purchase after the first day that I own it. But yeah, we'll see.
The thing that worries me the most is this whole not looking at the screen aspect. It's like, well, in that case, why do I even need the Nintendo Switch for? Isn't this just called playing make-believe? So
yeah, like,
I don't know. I want to see how it all comes together.
Yeah. Is it charades? Is it, you know, who knows? So we'll see. We started talking a little bit about the hardware. The site just went up that shows how much they're selling the separate pieces and the systems for. So the price at launch is $299.99 in the US.
Yeah, that's a lot more than you were expecting, and even more than I was expecting.
I was hoping $250. And
you were saying $200 though last week. If you're going to be disappointed if it wasn't that.
I am definitely disappointed. I wish it came in at $250. Now knowing how expensive these Joy-Cons are, that seems to be where the cost of this device is. Because it's not that screen, again, is not super high resolution. It's not the quality of a current generation tablet.
But yeah, it does seem like there's a lot of tech in these controllers.
There's a lot of tech in those controllers.
I guess before we get into that, we should run down this list of what's going to be available.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
So there's the Nintendo Switch with the gray Joy-Cons, and that includes the console, the left and right Joy-Cons, the wrist strap. And why do they promote the wrist strap? It's like even a thing. I hate the wrist strap. I've never thrown my Wii Remote. It's ridiculous. But the dock, the grip, you know, your HDMI cables, AC adapters, Pro Controller is sold separately. And then you can also buy the Nintendo Switch with the neon blue and neon red Joy-Cons. It's the same price. It's also $300. Which one are you going to get, the gray or the colored?
I'm going to go with the colored one. I always go with the ugly option. So
if
yeah,
it was purple like a GameCube, I would go for the colored ones. But I think in this case, I'll probably aim to get the gray one.
I like the red and blue. I'm in. I'm in for that one. But
well, it certainly does let you differentiate at a glance which is left and which is right. Yes. So that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of controllers, the Switch Pro controller is going to be $70 just by itself. $70.
That's crazy.
And a pair of Joy-Con controllers is $80.
$80.
That's the left and the right. Oh, but if you just want a single one, if you just want the left or the right, $50.
Yeah, so don't lose it. I guess why else would you buy a single one of these?
I don't know.
Wow. So
just to flesh out the list, you can buy the charging grip for $29.99.
Okay, that's
you can buy an
reasonable.
Additional dock for $90.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get a steering wheel that you insert your Joy-Con into for $15.
That's the Wiimote steering wheel that came with every Mario Kart.
Yeah, I guess this is for when Mario Kart 8.5 or whatever comes out. I was surprised that didn't really have any presence in this at all.
Well, I mean, it was in some of the trailer footage. Yeah,
the really quick clip reel. But yeah, it wasn't really part of the presentation. I was expecting this title would probably be at launch, and I'm sure they would have mentioned it if it was, but I guess it's coming later. They did confirm that it's going to have a big emphasis on battle mode. You know, the balloons are back, popping them balloons, so going to have a good multiplayer focus. But unless it has a whole bunch of new tracks you can play in circuit mode, in cup mode, in single player mode, I'm not going to be that excited about it. I don't think I'm going to be sold on another version of Mario Kart 8. I'll be happy with my Wii U version if there aren't a ton of new tracks. I mean, I'm betting on new characters.
But if there's a game drought and we don't have anything to play...
Oh, we're going to be playing Zelda for like 9 months probably.
I guess. But man, wow. This thing's hopes and dreams are pinned on that one game. So,
well, I mean, maybe it's more important, you know, how the Switch does during the holidays than it does immediately. I mean, it's probably going to sell out regardless.
Oh, it's certainly going to sell out for sure. And it's going to have the same launch that every Nintendo launch has been for the last few years, which is don't produce enough units because we don't want to build out the resources to put out a million consoles all at once. So there's going to be a shortage of these, I'm sure, until the holidays.
Yeah, and it's coming out very soon on March 3rd. That's less than 2 months away. It's what, like 7 weeks?
Yeah, I did not expect it to be early March. I thought it was going to be late March.
I was going to say like the 21st or something. But yeah, March 3rd, really early. It's about as early as you can get in March. And it's coming out simultaneously in Japan, the U.S., Canada, most of Europe, Hong Kong, maybe other places. So they've got to hit all those territories. That's a lot of systems to deliver. So, yeah, I guess you'll have to get those pre-orders in early if you can.
So one thing that may help with supply and demand is that they've made this console basically not region locked. They said for most titles, they're going to make sure that...
Yeah, they confirmed no region locking.
No region locking. So, which means a U.S. console is going to be the same as a Japanese console that, you know, they're going to have the same specs and, you know, all they'll have to do is switch out the OS and the paperwork, but it's going to have the same exact hardware. And so they won't have to... Companies won't have to make three different cartridge types. It could just be one cartridge. You select a language at the beginning of the game. So that's great.
Maybe. I doubt that's going to happen.
Well, we'll see. But
you know, it means that if they don't bring out the next Ace Attorney over here, I can still grab
it
and buy it and wade through it in Japanese somehow. Igeri! I'm practicing just in case.
So we know the price, $300. We know the thing charges over the dock, but it also charges over USB-C, which I don't have a USB-C port on my computer, so I'm going to have to get some sort of adapter that plugs that into the wall if I'm going to charge on the go. And then the battery life I wasn't too jazzed about. I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, they're saying 2.5 to 6.5 hours, depending on how intensive the game
is.
That's
right. So with a game like Zelda, I don't expect more than 2.5 hours out of the thing.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Kind of meager. You know, you're going to probably be playing a lot of the time with this thing connected to a television, but if I'm playing on an airplane, a four-hour flight, you know, it's not going to last. So that's a little worrisome. That's true. I wish this device had a capable battery, and two and a half hours is not a capable battery for something like this.
Yeah, it's going to be problematic.
And we dealt with this with the 3DS at launch. The 3DS at launch had laughable battery life.
Yes.
It was two and a half hours, and then if you closed the thing and left it on standby, it would possibly last a day on standby without being charged. So that's kind of pitiful. And I know that this was a cost cutting thing and possibly a weight thing. You know, you don't want this thing to be too heavy, but
yeah, that's a good point.
Cause you know, you're going to be holding it for an extended period of time and you don't want your arms to get tired. So that's unfortunate. I'm not too crazy about the battery life on this. I guess what I can hope for is down the road improvements in battery life could be a thing, possibly switching out the battery on the unit.
Switching out the battery.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I wish that were better. I mean, for the most part, it's probably not going to affect me too much because I'm mostly going to be playing on the TV. But yeah, for those times when I do want to take it on the go,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's something you're going to have to be really cognizant of.
Yeah. I didn't realize the Joy-Cons were going to be so feature-filled. The fact that there's haptic feedback in both of these things, so they're separate. They have separate mm-hmm. haptic feedback, I don't know, emitters. And then there's also an IR sensor on the thing that can actually see the distance it is from an object. So, and it can actually see your hand and the shape your hand is in. So that's really cool.
That sounds really interesting.
I'm not sure what I'd use it for.
I don't know yet either, but I mean, it sounds like, you know, real next gen gesture type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, basically they'll be able to, like, you know, were you doing sign language? So, you know, if you want to make motions of, you know, pulling levers or punching buttons or doing all kinds of stuff, you know, it seems like that option is going to be there. And I wish they had kind of shown more about what they're going to do. I mean, they talked about being able to read rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's going to be in their game somewhere. Where you're playing some rock, paper, scissors mini game. I'm really intrigued about what else they're going to do. Of course, they did confirm also that it is a capacitive touchscreen.
Yep. Oh, and there's also, we forgot to mention the gyroscopes inside the controllers as well. So it's a full-on motion controller. And I'm assuming sensitive enough that, you know, it's not going to have this kind of hit or miss feel when you're playing a motion game. I'm not too excited for motion control games. I'm not a huge motion control game fan. That boxing game Arms looks absolutely ridiculous, and I don't understand why that's even a thing. But
we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, like they were saying, it kind of is a culmination of everything that Nintendo's done in the past. It's got touch, it's got motion, it's got accelerometers, it's got all of the buttons and joysticks and control pads and stuff like that that you'd expect. They didn't confirm that it was going to have a microphone in there, did they?
No, they didn't. I'm assuming any sort of peripheral could offer that. What are you thinking? A game like Rock Band or something where you could sing into the thing?
Oh, you know me. I'm just concerned about being able to yell objection, Ace Attorney.
All right. So, yeah.
I feel like they were kind of underselling that haptic feedback, that HD rumble they were talking about. You know, we mentioned, you know, being able to feel an ice cube or feel three different ice cubes. And, you know, from what I've heard, it sounds like it's going to be even way more impressive than that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting some really good vibes about this haptic feedback stuff, this HD rumble. It sounds like it could be really, really cool. I'm surprised they didn't talk about it more. Hopefully we'll know more about it after the continued presentation, continued hands-on over the next few days. But that could possibly be sort of the killer feature in these controllers.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting. So given all that, you know, it does make the $300 price tag a little bit easier to swallow. They're packing all that tech into those controllers.
It does. It does. I felt like, you know, what am I paying for if it's going to be a $300 device? What was the Wii U at launch? Was it 300 or was it 350? It was 350 for the 32 gig unit, or was it 400?
No, you were right the first time. 350 for the deluxe, 300 for the basic. And Wii, when it came out, it was only $250.
The Wii was 250. But, okay.
Yeah.
But the Wii was 250 in 2006?
Yeah.
But that was, you know, inflation and everything. I think that this system is still on par with that pricing, believe it or not. I was just concerned that, you know, for $300, what am I really getting? Am I paying for a 2-year-old tablet with some old technology and a Nintendo logo slapped on the front of it? But obviously there's a lot more tech in these controllers than I had anticipated. So I'm still not too keen about the low resolution of the screen, but you know, software speaks louder than resolution.
Yeah, I guess I can feel you there. I mean, when you're talking about a handheld, I'm not even sure my eyes can identify that much of a difference between 720p and something more high res than that.
You know, we're staring at high resolution screens all day. You have an iPhone and you're holding it up pretty close to your face. And you have an iPad and you're holding that up pretty close to your face. Switch is going to be as close or closer than you're usually holding those devices. The stark contrast between a 720p screen and what an iPhone is capable of is night and day. You're going to see pixels. You're going to see pixels. This is not like what, you know, Apple calls a retina screen. So I'm just a little concerned. You know, the PS Vita had a beautiful OLED screen. And it's, you know, it's been years since that came out. So this thing should look as good as a PS Vita, but it's not going to. It doesn't have as high resolution as the PS Vita, I don't believe. So yeah, I'm just a little disappointed there.
Now, what do you think about the fact that Nintendo is going to be charging for their online services? Last week you were saying that was something you thought Nintendo needed to get into.
That's right.
And it looks like they're doing
That's great. I'm actually really excited about this. I think they're... online offerings can be so much more robust if they're making a profit from it. And they'll make it a much more valuable service to subscribe to if I get more for my money than just, you know, being able to play Splatoon online. If you're going to charge me $10...
more than that. Exactly, they better be.
Exactly. If you're going to charge me $10 a month to play Splatoon online, forget it, Nintendo. I'm not going to buy Splatoon and pay you $10 a month to play Splatoon online. And I'm not going to pay $10 a month to have some crap tacked on online features in games that don't even need online features. What I will pay you $10 a month for is a robust online service that offers possibly movie rentals, that offers a really cool virtual console, that offers possible like free downloads every...
Yeah, so I guess... We knew that you'd be able to, you know, set up versus matches and invitations through an app. So that's, you know, kind of a cool feature it's going to have. Mm-hmm. But it says you're also going to get a free monthly game download. Subscribers will get to download and play a Nintendo Entertainment System or Super Nintendo Entertainment System game with newly added online play for free for a month. So it sounds like that's going to be rotating, I suppose. Every month it's going to be a new game. So it's not going to be a lot of stuff, but you know, that's something. And you know, there's got to be more than that.
That's awesome. That's exactly what I wanted. I mean, it's not 10
games.
Well,
you were asking like you want a lot more than that, but yeah, it's a start.
I do, but they're offering what it says that there's added online play. I wonder what that is. Maybe it's an online leaderboard where maybe there's some sort of competition for the best score of the month.
Well, probably, you know, versus modes for games like that. You can finally have that dream of, you know, online urban champion or something.
That's cool.
But yeah, according to Nintendo's website, if you pay for the service, then you will have online gameplay. You will have online lobby and voice chat through this app. You'll get a monthly game download and you'll get exclusive deals. Whereas if you aren't a subscriber, then you don't get online gameplay, but you will still get eShop, friend management, sharing stuff over social media, and apparently the very exciting feature of access to Nintendo Switch Parental Controls app. Very exciting there. I guess we'll see how it all pans out,
I
would like to know more about what they're going to do about Virtual Console. We still don't really know how that's going to evolve or change, unless it was in that clip reel and I missed it. Yeah, we still don't know what's going on with that, if it's going to be something like, you know, all the games that you are familiar with on Wii U are coming right over, if they're going to start from scratch again, or if there's really going to be GameCube or add new systems or anything like that. So
yeah,
that's another thing we have to take a wait and see approach on, I suppose.
Yeah, and I don't think they can sit on their hands for too long with something like this, because with the Wii U, they had the backwards compatibility that they could say, oh, well, this huge library is available to you. You know, as soon as you buy this thing, this virtual console on the Wii was so robust and you could pretty much play you know, TurboGrafx games on the damn thing. Mm-hmm. So
you could. I mean, it was clunky to use Wii Mode, but it was still really cool that it was there.
It was there so that they could say, we had this at launch. Mm-hmm. You've got to give people a reason to buy this thing beyond the one game that people are going to buy the console for. I'm just very excited that Nintendo's going to be hopefully making some sort of profit by offering a good online service. I mean,
well, we've got until fall to figure it out, because it's going to be free up until fall. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's going to become a paid service. So hopefully in the meantime, they will prove the value of the service, show what it's all about, say, hey, there's all kinds of cool things here. And they'll be like, okay, yeah, I don't mind paying some nominal fee.
I don't expect to get anything for free, but man, you know, give me a reason to pay you, Nintendo.
Okay, well, this seems like a good place to take an intermission, so let's do that, and then we come back, we will continue talking about the exciting new Nintendo Switch. All right, we are back and we are ready to keep talking about the recent Switch unveiling. We talked about the features, the launch date, the prices, but we still haven't talked about a lot of the games. We did, of course, mention Zelda and 1-2 Switch. You did start bringing up ARMS a little bit, the the wacky arena fighting game with lengthy spring-loaded arms, otherwise known as Street Fighter II, Everybody Plays as Dalsim Edition.
That's what I thought of. And I also thought, like, what was wrong with the Punch-Out franchise? And I also thought, like,
so I was saying last week, I want a new Punch-Out. And, well, we're getting a new punching game, but it's not exactly Punch-Out. But then again, if I saw Little Mac with, you know, giant stretchy arms.
With Ribbon Girl and Rubber Band Boy or something?
It's a very colorful, very wacky game.
Yeah.
Springman and Ribbon Girl.
Springman,
of course, I believe he was a boss character from Mega Man 7.
You're right.
He looks a little different than I remember before.
Well, I got to tell you, this game looks a bit like
Capcom is getting some money from that.
This game looks like a hot mess to me, but I'm not going to buy this game, but
it's wacky. It's colorful.
It's motion controlled. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. There's nothing about this that I'm gonna.
You tilt to move your characters. Wow, swing your Joy-Cons. It just looks like to swingy charm.
I got Wii flashbacks watching that. So
well, hopefully it's way better than the motion control in Punch-Out or in Wii Boxing. So I'm cautiously optimistic about this. This to me is way more appealing than 1-2 Switch. This looks like it could be a lot of fun.
Well, no, I'm actually more all in on 1-2 Switch than I am on this ARMS thing.
That's fair enough.
They called it ARMS, the rubber band girl, what's the spring?
Ribbon girl.
Spring man and ribbon girl. Like,
I wonder if those are the final names.
I hope not, because man, the naming department was out to lunch when this thing.
Bulky dude.
Yeah, it's
Speedy Ninja Man.
I'm not sold. For a new franchise, I'm not sold on this one, man. But
I'm not totally sold, but I'm very intrigued. I'm interested. It's going to have online. I mean, to me, it seems like it's going to show off some pretty cool motion features of the Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
So it sounds fun. Plus, it's going to be, you know, single player and multiplayer. Mm-hmm. Although, I guess you'd have to buy a second set of Joy-Cons, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So just watching them demo this whole system, I'm wondering, how is the demo kiosk going to work at the Best Buy? Like, are they going to have to attach strings to all these little parts that come off the thing? This is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, they'll have to tie up those wrist straps, I guess, so people don't run off with them.
Yeah, so ARMS, I'm not crazy about. And honestly, I wish they would have spent some more time. Those people should have been working on a better game.
Man, so down.
Oh, I'm down on that arms thing. And to put it so far up front, like, I was really, this thing did not start off strong. It didn't start off strong for me. So, you know, it definitely ramped up. But
it's kind of hilarious though that it's going to be a spring release.
It's not even a launch. Spring release. It's not even a launch title. Well, it's in the launch window.
Because it's got spring arms. Spring arms. Spring release.
I get it.
I'm not even. It's not a joke though.
So this is a launch window title. And you know,
yeah, I'll bet it comes out like in May or April.
This feels a lot like that freaking. I'm going to try to control my language here. It feels a lot like that submarine game they gave us on the 3DS launch. This is not a game that's going to be worth playing, you know, 2 weeks after you buy it. I don't want a game like that.
Well, I guess we'll see. I myself, as I said, cautiously optimistic.
All right. I'm cautiously pessimistic.
On the other hand, totally blown away by what we saw of Super Mario Odyssey. I'm not sure how we got this far in the podcast without talking about Super Mario Odyssey.
Super Mario Odyssey, like, people on the internet were losing their minds. I'm
losing my mind just thinking about it. I mean, this is like everything I've wanted from a Mario game for so long. I was like, open world Mario, exploring a city, and that's what we're actually getting. I can't believe it.
It's incredible. It looks like a game I played in a dream, and that yes. Nintendo's going to give this to me is just really exciting. So
apparently Mario is no longer in the Mushroom Kingdom. He has gone to this quote unquote unknown world, which I guess is our world.
Yeah. Oh, and it looks like New York City.
Yeah. Officially Mario is a plumber from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I believe that's canon. So I guess he's coming back. Although it shows that part was like running past realistic looking dudes. He's still like this little tiny guy. So that's really weird.
It looked really weird. It made me feel icky.
I wonder if there's going to be some part where he looks in the mirror and you see him like looking like a real normal proportioned human.
People are going to scream and go running in the streets, especially with that crazy hat with the magic hat that he's got with the eyeballs on it. I love that hat mechanic, the tossing of the hat to extend your jumping ability. You jump onto your hat.
Yeah, you throw the hat, you jump on the hat.
That's really cool.
You're bouncing off buildings, climbing buildings.
Yeah.
You're fighting weird giant spider things that are climbing up the skyscrapers. Mm-hmm. Then you get in a spaceship and you launch off and go to all these different planets. And you know, what he said during the presentation was that it's kind of like the joy of exploring unknown countries for the first time. You could really see that. You could see that one place that, you know, looks, you know, a lot like Mexico. Mm-hmm. You can see him going to the lush forest. You can see like this big crystal garden, going through a desert, I guess like an Egypt level, riding on a lion. It was kind of reminiscent of you know, the original Super Mario Land. That stuff was just going by so fast and crazy. I really needed to watch it again to take it all in, but I was just amazed by what I was saying. I cannot wait to play that game.
I'm excited. I just wanted to come out sooner than later, and we didn't get did we get it? No, we didn't even get a release date on this.
We did. It's they're aiming for holiday.
Oh, is it? Okay, holiday 2017. Okay.
Definitely late this year.
Well, that's fine. I can wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm gonna be playing Zelda for 9 months until this comes out, probably.
So yeah, sandbox style Mario game.
But yeah, swimming underwater and jumping rope with people in the city.
I love that it opens up the options for what a level could be. I mean, it could be completely abstract. It could be, it could be hyper realistic. It just really cool what this enables.
Yeah, in this way it reminds me a lot of Mario Galaxy, where it's going off to these different planets and they can just kind of do whatever they want. And this seems, you know, very much an extension of that, combined with the openness of Mario 64 and even going beyond that. So it's really, really exciting and cool looking. Oh, and I guess, you know, Bowser and Princess Peach are getting married again. Seeing Bowser in his white tux
I think it's a little bizarre that he's trying to stop a wedding this time. He's not usually trying to stop a wedding, is he?
Well, most of the time she's just kidnapped, but I don't think it's the first time that they have been planning nuptials. But I do think it's the first time I've seen Bowser dressed like that. I mean, I've seen him wearing clothes before, but not anything quite like this that I can recall.
I'd love to see Luigi as a playable character, but I guess that might be asking too much.
Oh, he's always in there somewhere. I'm sure he'll be in there. Probably as an unlockable or something like that. Mm-hmm. But they won't leave poor Luigi out. He's got to get in on the Odyssey as well. And I bet there's going to be lots of other hats, too. I'll bet it's not just going to be that one hat.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. I think there will be
other ones as well. So I think there's going to be a lot to this game. Oh man, this makes me really wish that I was still back at Nintendo Power to, you know, blow this thing out in the months to come, because I'm sure there is a lot to it. It looks so cool. And the cool, exciting-looking games certainly did not stop there. There's going to be a Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Yeah, that looks beautiful. My gosh.
Yes, it does.
That could be one of the nicest-looking games on the system. My only concern, not to pee in your Cheerios, is I saw some frame rate issues in that trailer specifically that just makes me a little concerned, just a little bit, because they're always pushing it with the Xenoblade titles are just really on the cutting edge, and they probably want to put as much as they can into the game. And
yeah, I'm not worried about that yet. They got a long ways before it comes out, and you can never tell if that's just watching the video that's stuttering or if it's the game. But that one doesn't have a specific release date yet. It's just got a vague sometime in 2017 time frame. But what's exciting to me is that it is a sequel to the Wii game, to the 3DS game, Xenoblade. It's not an extension of Xenoblade Chronicles X. And, I liked some things about X, but I kind of felt it went off a bit in the wrong direction. But, seeing those, giant, massive characters that you're walking on, the Mechanus and the Bionis, I'm pretty sure that's what we were seeing again. Seeing that those guys are alive and they're back there, it's like, oh man, that's just, it sends goosebumps onto my arms. And you're seeing massive airships. This one also has a tiger that you can ride on, I guess. Feline riding is big on the Switch.
Oh, that's right. Mario's riding a lion in that trailer, wasn't
he? Yeah, he had a lion, and these guys in Xenoblade look like it. I mean, it wasn't exactly a tiger, but it was kind of tiger-ish. And there was that humongous whale, and there's still a lot we don't know about it. It didn't look like any of the characters from Xenoblade Chronicles 1 were actually returning, but maybe they'll be in there, or who knows? Maybe this is set, hundreds of years later, and we'll see them in some flashback capacity or something. But, there's also a lot of characters that were like partially robots. So who knows? Maybe they could live 100 years. There's lots of potential in that series. And I couldn't be more excited, as an RPG fan, that Xenoblade is coming back like that. Also, I'm a big fan of Mitsuda. So knowing that he's doing the soundtrack has got me pretty amped as well. Continuing on the RPG tack, they confirmed Dragon Quest X and XI. Did not confirm for North America, of course.
but you can buy it, but you won't be able to read it.
No, that's true. That's true. But I'd like to think that we're going to get at least 11 here. Then they also said that Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2 is also coming out, again, at least in Japan. And what about that other thing from Square Enix?
Oh, yeah, I'm excited for that. With the crazy name, Project Octopath Travelers.
Yes, which when I first saw it, I called it Paper Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it did look like Paper Final Fantasy. Yes, I love the style. Like
old school Final Fantasy combined with Paper Mario.
Yep.
And yeah, that looked really, really cool. And I kind of get the impression that it's from the Bravely Default team.
It is. It is from the Bravely Default team.
Okay, cool.
On Twitter, they confirmed that.
Okay.
So yeah, that Square Enix game from the Bravely Default team, which is super exciting for me. I love the Bravely Default game. So
they're ones that I definitely need to spend more time with, and I'm really looking forward to this one too. It seems really, really cool. Yeah, Bravely Default had some really cool visual styles too, so this kind of seems like a natural extension of that in some way.
Yeah,
so.
Bravely Default, the towns especially, had that cutout paper kind of look to them, very layered.
But still a lot of really cool depth, so it's very neat. And then Alice is bringing a new Shin Megami Tensei title to us as well. That's one I've never really been that into myself, but it's still really cool to see. That's pretty great. I'm probably more excited if it was getting Persona, but still, it's pretty darn cool.
And Splatoon 2, which we knew about, but I don't know if we knew how much, or did we know
We knew the new Splatoon was coming, but from the brief stuff they'd showed previously, it looked like, oh, there's some new outfits, and maybe there's some new weapons here. But it seemed like most people were putting their money on this being just an enhanced version of Splatoon. Sort of just a quick and dirty port, 1.5 Super Splatoon, something like that.
That's what I was worried about.
No, it turns out we're actually getting a completely brand new game, which is pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, some of those weapons look like a lot of fun. There's even like a flood like thing that one of the
Inklings?
One of the Inklings was wielding, like from Super Mario Sunshine, the water jet. And there was also like a what looked like a nuclear missile thing that launched like 8 missiles into the air, and then it landed into a spot and painted the whole area, which is really neat.
I admit, I've not played as much Splatoon as I probably should have, so I couldn't really tell you how much stuff was new and how much stuff was old. But I certainly liked what I saw, and you know, I know a lot of people that are big fans.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very excited about this game. And just like you, you know, I'm really happy that it is not a port. There's nothing I like less than just being like, okay, here's last-gen stuff. And I know we've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to see that they went all out and they've taken those, you know, 2 years since the last game came out almost, and are going to have a sequel ready for this summer.
Yeah, the cynic in me was
pretty awesome.
Honestly was expecting just port after port after port. I was expecting I was expecting at least 10 titles that were just slightly upgraded versions of their Wii U counterparts. So I was, oops, sorry about that. Oh, Best Buy has pre-orders up. Best Buy right now. Let's do it on the show. So for folks at home, we just found out that the Switch just went up for pre-order. Let's go to cart. It's in my cart. I'm excited. Free, should I get the store pickup? No, shipping. I ordered it.
Okay.
Did you get it?
I'm trying to confirm. Woo, went through.
All right, we did it.
Okay, important update. We have apparently pre-ordered our Switch systems via Best Buy. Thanks, Best Buy. Thanks for telling me.
Yeah, that was my buddy Jeremy, who works over at Epic, told me that the pre-orders were up. So that was awesome. Yeah, Jeremy.
Awesome.
Yeah, and those are the same people that created the Unreal Engine. So, yay.
Oh, thanks for them. My thanks to Jeremy. Now I just need money so I can actually afford it when it comes out. Okay, so now that's over with, what other games do we know about? Ooh, Fire Emblem Warriors. That's another one I'm excited about.
Yeah, Fire Emblem, which we don't really know anything about, really, except for they've just put a graphic up. But that's great, you know, the fact that it's, you know, going to hit what basically amounts to a home console. That's really cool.
Well, it's Fire Emblem Warriors, so it's like Hyrule Warriors. It's the Tecmo Koi fighting franchise.
Oh, it's not. Oh, ooh. All right. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. And that makes perfect, beautiful sense for that series. I mean, I can't think of any series that you know makes more of a sense for having a Dynasty Warriors style spinoff than Fire Emblem. Because they've got so many great characters. They've got such an emphasis on the different kinds of weapons. There is a strategic bent to it. So to me, I think it's wonderful. And I couldn't really tell, but my feeling was that might have been Crom in the visual that we were seeing from Fire Emblem Awakening. And of course, you know, I really didn't get into the series hardcore until Awakening and Fate. So for me, if they just fill it up with Awakening and Fate's characters, then I'll totally be in love. But of course, all the characters that we've become familiar with through Smash, such as Ike and Marth, and the various characters from those series as well, I'm sure they'll all be in there. I'm sure it will be overflowing with Fire Emblem-y goodness. I enjoy Hyrule Warriors a lot, so I think I'm going to like this game. And as I said, it makes perfect sense for that series. So that should be fun. Should be a lot of fun.
What else? Skyrim.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Skyrim is, which we knew
is
about.
Confirmed now. It is official. Yeah, I mean, we pretty much knew. I mean, I've never played any games in that series, but I don't know. You know, maybe now this will be my chance. Why should I be excited about playing a game in this series?
I think because the sheer amount of hours you can invest in a game like this, you could spend, 50, 60 hours playing this game and not see, the whole thing. So that's exciting. Even if this is your first Elder Scrolls game, I think you'll enjoy it. My wife played the heck out of this game. I didn't, but I think this is exciting. Have it as a portable game is just really neat. So if you're into, action RPGs, I think this might be right up your alley.
Now, it is a first-person game, is it not?
It is.
Okay, I guess that's why I've always kind of stayed away from it, because when I play games like this, I wouldn't be able to actually see my character. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You know, if I somehow blaze through Zelda a lot quicker, then perhaps I will consider playing this one.
And there's dragons.
There be dragons, yes. Yes, there is. And it's certainly cool to see them, you know, confirming that we are getting a, you know, hardcore game from a North American developer like that. Just like it's also good to confirm that we're getting FIFA, even though that was the most boring part of the presentation, as well as NBA 2K, which was only shown in the clips. Actually, I take it back. The most boring part of the presentation might have been that part with Sega, where there was that guy just standing there in the dark.
Travis Touchdown guy.
No.
Before that.
Travis Touchdown, that's Suda51, and he's basically saying there's going to be a No More Heroes 3. And No More Heroes was a pretty darn cool series on Wii, and it's really neat to hear that the character, if not the franchise by name, is going to be coming back. So I welcome that one. Plus the fact that he even mentioned pro wrestling on stage.
Yeah, that was cool. That's
another reason to be excited. So yeah, Suda51, he's an interesting guy.
Yeah, the Sega guy, it felt like the Sega guy on stage was an afterthought because they didn't even have his words pre-translated. So,
well, they didn't even have the lights come on for him. I think he probably just snuck up there.
It was bizarre. He could have been the guy that got drunk at the pre-party and just stormed the stage. It was really bizarre.
Probably do something. See you later. I think he's the guy who handles the Yakuza franchise. Mm-hmm. Is that right? I mean, we know that Sega's also got that new Sonic game in the works. And they showed a few clips of that were only straight from the trailer. So still nothing new. Still no gameplay on that. But yeah, Negoshi coming up there and just be like, yeah, we'll probably make something. Please look forward to it. That was just weird.
That was weird.
Weird, weird, weird.
Yeah, and then there was a bunch of stuff shown off in a montage-y trailer following the bigger announcements. And there were some big things hidden in there.
Well, there was Minecraft for one. Yeah, that's a lot of Minecraft.
Huge Minecraft. I spotted Rayman.
Yes, that was a port of Rayman Legends, I believe.
There's a Lego game. I'm not sure which.
Oh, yeah, there was Lego City Undercover. Mm-hmm. That was the one we had talked about before. They announced that a couple weeks ago, and it's just a port of the game that was on Wii U. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was reconfirmed. You know, there was a quick clip of a Dragon Ball game. Mm-hmm. Then there was this Ultra Street Fighter 2 that I'm pretty curious about.
Yeah, that looked like a 32-bit game, old-style graphics. I thought it was Street Fighter Alpha, and it apparently wasn't, but...
That was definitely Street Fighter 2. I mean, Guile was in there. Mm-hmm. Chun-Li in her old outfit was in there. I think it had the China background from Chun-Li's stage in Street Fighter 2. I mean, T-Hawk was in there for crying out loud. But there was what looked like some two-on-one action. Or maybe it was some weird three-player free-for-all. And that part, you know, that was something that was introduced in Street Fighter Alpha. There was that, you know, one two-on-one mode for just a couple of the characters. So maybe that's why you were thinking it was Street Fighter Alpha. I wish it were, because I love Street Fighter Alpha.
Ultra Street Fighter 2, The Final Challengers is what it's called. And it says, yes, and it says Evil Ryu and Violent Ken make their debut. So we'll get to see Darkseid, Ryu, and Ken.
Yeah, I apologize, because by the time that this podcast goes live, the live hands-on event will probably already have started. And there'll be lots more info out, and people will be like, they don't know what they're talking about. This is all last night's info, so I apologize for anything that's out of date.
Yeah, we were just kind of scrambling to get all this together. And
The other game that was really surprising and hit me out of nowhere was what appeared to be Bomberman.
Oh, really? I didn't even see that
in that montage. Oh, I saw those bombs going off, man. I saw that that trademark cross-shaped explosion. Mm-hmm. Bomberman, I mean, that franchise has been dead for years, and it's, you know, in Konami's hands, and they've been dead for years. So, I'm sure there's some sort of extenuating circumstances, but that's really cool to see that Bomberman is apparently making a comeback, man.
Yeah, that's exciting. I love seeing these old franchises get new life on a new system, so... I hope we see more of that. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
I think the NES Classic has shown Nintendo the power of their... I mean, they know what the power of nostalgia is, but really, I mean...
Yeah, they do.
This is... if anything was more clear indicator of the power of nostalgia, was that NES Classic.
And, you know, this wasn't actually shown in the presentation or in the montage, but just a couple of days ago, the folks over at Yacht Club Games confirmed that Shovel Knight is coming out on the Switch.
I will buy it again on the Switch. Honest to goodness. Yeah, they announced
a whole bunch of stuff that's going to be called Shovel Knight Treasure Trove. And I guess you'll be able to piecemeal buy each individual quest. Like if you want to do just Shovel Knight or just Plague of Shadows or just one of the other campaigns that, you know, hasn't been released yet. Or you can, I guess, buy Treasure Trove and get the whole thing. So that'll be a new way to buy the game. So like, you know, if we decide, oh, well, I only want to play, you know, the King Knight campaign when it comes out on Switch, then, you know, we can do that without having to buy the full thing.
Yeah.
But hey, it's an awesome game. I don't mind buying the whole thing all over again. So
here, here.
That is cool to see. Yep.
So, Chris, only one question remains here. We both literally pre-ordered this thing during this podcast, which is hilarious.
Yes, we did.
Which system did you pre-order? Did you go with the gray or did you go with the neon? Because
I went with the gray.
You went with the gray.
As I said earlier.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going with the wacky colors this time.
I went wacky. I got the
like
crazy
I said, if
colors.
We were getting Super NES purple and violet or something like that, I would have done that. Yeah. But this time, I'm going with the gray.
So I guess now we kind of have to pre-order Breath of the Wild. Have you done that yet?
Well, I pre-ordered the Wii U version, but I have not pre-ordered the Switch version. Is it up there as well?
It's on Amazon, I believe, for pre-order.
Hmm, so it is. But that's just the standard edition. You know, while we've been recording, Nintendo announced there are actually two other special edition versions of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. There is going to be a special edition that comes not only with the game, but with a Nintendo Switch Sheikah Slate carrying case, a 24-song soundtrack CD, a collectible coin, and a Calamity Ganon tapestry and weather-worn map. And then there is a Master Edition that comes with all that, plus a little statue of the Master Sword sticking out of its pedestal. So I think I am going to hold off, not get the Standard Edition, and pre-order this sucker as soon as I can, because it's something I've been waiting for a long, long time.
Oh, well, I don't think I'll worry about Collector's Edition. I'm gonna not get that collector's edition.
I will buy that sucker in a heartbeat.
Well, I'm gonna have a brand new baby. I'm gonna have to figure out how to play video games around.
Well, it's a good thing you've got a system that you'll be able to, you know, make on the TV and portable.
So, oh, that's right.
Probably,
I can play it.
Probably
on...
help.
You're right. That's interesting you say that, because I didn't even think about that. Like if I'm on BART or something, I can be playing Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I'll be
Good
able to
point.
Concentrate
Good
on
point.
BART, but at least this pre-order situation feels a lot more positive than the NES Classic situation we're still dealing with. So I remain hopeful if you want one of these at launch, I don't expect you'll need to wait in line for it. But who knows? Who knows with Nintendo?
Hmm.
They could be
you
scarce.
You never know. I just hope these pre-orders actually, you know, don't fall through.
Speaking of NES Classic, there have not been really any major restocks of the NES Classic. What are the chances, Chris Hoffman, that we won't see any more NES Classics from Nintendo? That this was a one-and-done special treat kind of thing? What do you think?
I say zero chances. I say that there will be plenty more. I think there will be restocks throughout January. And I predict there'll be restocks throughout the first half of this year, at least.
But it's...
I could be wrong, but that's my prediction.
You could be. We haven't had a major restock of this thing since, I don't know, day one of the thing launching. So, ooh, what does that say?
I mean, I know that there were days where various companies did get restocks and they promoted them and advertised them.
They did, but
I mean, I still haven't seen one in a store, so...
I guess we'll see.
All right, well, I think we've covered pretty much everything in the presentation. There will be, you know, lots more details coming down the pipeline as people go hands-on and get to experience it at these events. But I think that's kind of going to wrap it up for this week, and we will talk about it more in the future. However, before we go, I do believe we have time for a dramatic reading. This time from Nintendo's official press materials for the Nintendo Switch. Introducing Nintendo Switch, the new home video game system from Nintendo. In addition to providing single and multiplayer thrills at home, the Nintendo Switch system can be taken on the go, so players can enjoy a full home console experience anytime, anywhere. The mobility of a handheld is now added to the power of a home gaming system, with unprecedented new playstyles brought to life by the two new Joy-Con controllers. At home, the system rests in the Nintendo Switch dock, which lets you play with family and friends on a TV in the comfort of your living room. By simply lifting Nintendo Switch from the dock at any time, the system instantly transitions to handheld mode, and the same great gaming experience that was being enjoyed at home now travels with you. The portability of Nintendo Switch is enhanced by its 6.2-inch screen, which displays bright, high-definition gameplay at the park, on an airplane, in a car, or at a friend's apartment.
All those places.
Yep.
Well, I guess what did we learn today, Chris? I guess what my important thing I learned is don't lose those Joy-Cons. They probably come with a strap because they cost so much.
That's right. You don't want to lose them. I learned that Zelda is even more amazing than I expected, and Mario looks like it's going to be everything I ever wanted, and that Japanese RPGs are going to be alive and well on the Switch. That's my takeaway.
Hear, hear.
Anyway, I guess that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Scott at Plastic Bugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and we would love to hear your thoughts on the Switch presentation. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Scott Michella.
I'm going to try that snap thing.
And my illegitimate child, Bowser Jr. We will see you next time.